living water. And then if you go down, it jumps to the Pharisees in 45. It says, the officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why did you not bring him? The officers answered, no one ever spoke like this man. And the Pharisees answered them, have you all been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. And Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus before and who was one of, I guess, the disciples, said to them, or one of the Pharisees said, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? And so I guess what's going on is the Pharisees and the leaders are upset about Jesus, and they turn to Nicodemus, what can we do? And Nicodemus had a conversation in chapter 3 with Jesus about being born again. And so Nicodemus is trying to quell their desire, you know, to attack Jesus or to kill Jesus. He wants to kind of keep them from ultimately carrying out their plans. And so there's great unbelief with the Pharisees. And so for me, I think this tells me that we live in a world that is confused about Christ. We live in a world that has great doubt about Christ. We live in a world that isn't perfect. It isn't the way maybe we'd like it to be. And so, but Christ gives us the Holy Spirit as a resource in confusion and as a resource in our doubt. And let me illustrate how that works. This week when I was told I could preach to you all, I was told Tuesday, and I was preparing this, and I remember on Thursday morning, I was trying to get everything ready to take my daughter to daycare and to get ready for school, you know? And I think this illustrates how confusing the world can be in a very small experience. And so I was very close to being on time to take my daughter to daycare. She was ready. I was ready. I just had to put this lunch in my lunch together in my bag and get out the door. And so I felt my daughter come up behind me and push me in the back. And I jumped away from her, and she let go of this ceramic duck that just like kind of it blew up, I guess, into 1,000 pieces, essentially. It just was there on the kitchen floor, and it was done. And so I saw it there, and I was very angry for two reasons that I'll tell you. Just a second. I took my daughter. I put her in her room. I was mad. I said, get in a timeout. This is a bad behavior. This is a red behavior. And I left the lights off. I left the lights off. And then I was like, ah, let's turn the lights back on. And then I was like, no, let's turn the lights back off. I was like, this is crazy. And the window was open, so there was some light in it. But she was kind of in the dark. And so I went back. I cleaned up the duck, you know, and I put it in the trash. And I was angry because this duck symbolized kind of the start of my wife's marriage, you know. When we got married, we moved to Ipswich and were in an apartment. And the only thing I really brought of value to that marriage was this duck. you know, I had clothes that we threw away, books that we donated. I had furniture that she put in the dumpster. So, but I had this duck, you know. It was blue, and it became a joke, and then also sort of a maybe a metaphor or a symbol of starting our lives together. And then it was into 1,000 pieces on my kitchen floor. And so I came back to see my daughter, and I was really going to, like, let her have it. I thought I would, but she had gone to the bathroom in her little potty. And I was like, oh, this is so great, you know, quelled my anger a little bit. And I was, like, clapping in the dark, you know, that she had gone to the bathroom. And I stepped, and I had stepped on the rug in her mess. So she had gone in the potty and then gone all over her floor. And I was like standing there thinking, what is happening right now? Oh my gosh. So my anger got very high at that point. And I had to clean my foot or whatever, and I had to go clean her. And I was like, okay, you know, we're past time. We need to get you clothed. Let's put your undies on. Let's put your shorts on. And she was like, no, Papa, I don't want to do that. I do it. And I was like, Ashley. And so I picked her up, you know, and it was me and it was Ashley and the Holy Spirit, you know. And I was ready to let my anger go. And then I stepped backwards and I slipped in her mess again and almost like fell to my knee. And then I put her in the bed and I cleaned up everything and I changed her. And I started to think about how the Holy Spirit was in me. And the anger that I had, I think, was in some way quelled by the rivers of water that were in me. I don't know how I would describe it, but I did finally find peace in that moment when I easily could have just become unglued. And we finally made our way to daycare. But as a chaplain, I remember just Saturday, I had this visit that was much more difficult than this situation. I came to see a man who was just in his late 60s or 70s, or I think he was 70, and he had been on a biking experience, I think either New Hampshire or Vermont, and he accidentally snapped his neck, broke his neck. He had a neck brace, a trach. He had been unconscious for 3 weeks and couldn't speak. And this guy was a gregarious guy, an active guy, loved nature. And now he was absolutely devastated by what twist happened to him in an instant. And I didn't have, I supported him, but it was very hard because I could feel the fear he felt about his life. And I tried my best to be there and be present with his family and give him support and pray with him. But boy, if I was honest, I was very afraid because of the confusion he felt and the doubt that he felt. So in life, we can have very small issues that are confusing and difficult, and we think, why, Lord, is this happening? Why is this happening? And we can have large issues that happened to us, and we go, why is this happening? But Christ gives the Holy Spirit to us as a resource in times of trials. Christ gives us the Holy Spirit for times of trials. We have spiritual thirst. We want things to be different. But the first sign of that change is the Holy Spirit in our lives to give us peace when it's confusing, to give us joy when we feel unbelief. And I would say for you all and for myself, I'm really challenged by this sermon because how can I in some way have a connection to the Holy Spirit in those times? You know, how can I cultivate an understanding that God is in me while I go through great hardship? And so I leave that with you as well to think about and ponder as you go forward in this day. And also be happy that God lives in you and that you are alive as well. So thank you very much. I think at this time we'll have communion or we'll sing. Yeah, so Peter, will you come up? Thank you.